Hello, everyone. Hello and welcome. This is Al and Aurora. Oh, sorry.
And Aurora.
This is Aurora.
And Al.
You can speak for yourself.
Thank you.
So today we are having a special parent class where we get to interact with you guys. We have parents on Zoom. We're also broadcasting live on social media as well. So to just talk about some, I've gotten a lot of emails and they have the same two or three questions. So we're going to start with those. And then during our chat today, this is really just for you. I'm not going to teach anything. Kids, there is no science lesson here. This is just a chance for us to connect. Look, we even went out and we got coffee.
Yes.
So we can talk.
Yes, join
really
us
fast.
For a cup of coffee.
So Aurora will talk even faster.
So is that even possible?
That is actually one of the biggest complaints we get about our. We don't get a lot of complaints, but that's one of them. It's Aurora talks too fast. We've had people say, "Please people, slow down your videos."
Like, just listen faster.
Just
I've
listen
learned
faster.
To do it.
So, in fact, we have our oldest is 19, and he said most of the time he listens to people on twice speed. He goes, "Mom, you're the one person I can't do that with." I was like, "Yay!" So we have four kids. Help me with the ages. We got 8, 11, 16, and 19. And so I've been teaching. We were both teaching in the at Cal Poly State University. Mm-hmm. I started in mechanical engineering. You were in the College of Business.
Yeah.
And Al actually has multiple degrees. You have a master's that's in education.
Education and psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And I also studied computer science.
And computer science. Yeah, so we have this really unique combination where we, over many decades, have been... decades? Oh my gosh, are we that old? have been able
yes.
to... This is going to be fun. it's so much more fun.
You ever
fun
feel
than
like other people get older, except for, you know, you don't get older,
I'm like 25 still, right? All right, this is going to be a fun class. All right, so I'm so much better with you, and I really am. And so we would love to share stuff we know about. We'll talk about parenting. We talk about homeschooling. Anything like that you'd like to talk about, we're here.
One of the things that we're in a unique position for is because we interact with so many parents, we get a lot of feedback and mm-hmm. questions. And those questions are not only about science, but also about a broader picture of educating kids as well as parenting and everything from sibling issues mm-hmm. to what should I be focused on in schooling in general. How about when my kids who are, you know, 10 now are getting ready for college? And on the flip side, the parent who has an 18-year-old who says, "Oh my gosh, we need to be thinking about college," and it just dawned on them. So we see both sides of it, and have had the opportunity over the years to see what works best for parents overall, and what tends not to work. And of course, there are different things that work. There are many different things that do work, but there are also many different things that don't work. And so we'd be happy to share some of what we've learned, and also hear from you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, you're in this just as much as
we are.
And you know, you have your own wisdom, your own experiences. So we'd love to hear that. And if you have anything for other parents, that's wonderful too.
Yeah, this is not a one size fits all. It's, hey, let's share what we know and
right.
take what you want. That
right.
that kind of environment. Right. So, yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Give us an oh yeah.
I can tell you that story. I can tell you the oh yeah story. We'll do that at the end.
Okay.
Where that came from.
Okay,
so actually you hit on one that we have just been flooded with this month. And the comment in just in a condensed form is, I have a kid who's some year in high school. And all of a sudden I realize, uh-oh, they're going to be going to college. What do I do? And so that's one of them that came in. You guys can nod your head if that's...
Type something in the chat, actually, so we can see it. Because we got...
Yeah.
We can't see everyone here. Just type something in the chat if this is something that interests you or...
Yeah, and let us know what you want us to talk about. And the other one that came in is, I have multiple kids. How do I teach them all without going crazy? And then I think we can just start with those two and then we can see how you guys feel.
Okay.
Okay, so college. Do you want to start with this one? So, okay, so I've gotten a number of emails and they range everything from my kid only is interested in something non-educational. It could be video games. It could be only basketball. And there's nothing wrong with those things. It's just the parent had it in their mind that, oh, now we have to do college and it's in a year, because this one kid I'm thinking of is in 12th grade. And she's just now starting to think about it. So whether you're in that boat or whether your kids are still in third grade, it's like, how do you make sure that you're still on track and you don't go crazy and just, you know, and get overwhelmed? I know sometimes when I get in a project, I'm so obsessed about it to the extent of everything else. And that's not good either. So how do you make this a neat, organized, easy approach to make sure that you've got most of your ducks in a row? If one wanders off, it's not a big deal.
I guess one thing I would clarify, it's not just college, it's planning for the future. You know, college isn't necessarily right for every kid. So whether, you know, your kids are college bound or not, this still applies. It's planning for your future, but the underlying word there is planning. What we see, I guess, two different ones come up a lot. One is the, oh my gosh, my son, my daughter is 18 and we're finishing up and I don't know, I just realized, you know, I want my kid to go to college and I don't even know what to do. We've just been doing our own thing, homeschooling for so many years. What do we do? And it's just kind of this deer in the headlights shock, overwhelm. So we hear that.
And then they call us, you know, and it's the year they should have applied last year or, you know, before. Right. And like, could you have called us any earlier? Right. So.
And then the other one is from parents who are like, yeah, you know, we're doing 10th grade or 11th grade now. And I know we need to be looking at colleges, but it's just so overwhelming, the whole process. And what do we do? And how does homeschooling fit into that? And I've heard that colleges don't accept homeschoolers or that homeschooling is better, but I don't know how to position us. And it's so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so they just say, you know what? Let's just do today's lesson. We'll deal with that later.
Right. And they kick it down the road further and further until finally.
And so what we see actually is kind of a surprise, or maybe not. We see the other side of it also, where kids have finished their last year of high school, and they're in the middle or end of the summer, as some are now, and we're hearing this now. Mm-hmm. And when asked, you know, well, what are your plans for the future? What's your son or daughter's plans for the future? They're like, well, we're not sure yet, so we're just going to go to a community college while we figure it out. Mm-hmm. And if the community college has a program they want, that's awesome.
That's great.
That is totally awesome.
Totally
a lot
great.
Of awesome career programs at community colleges. But if it's just because, well, we didn't think about it and just kept kicking it down the road, like Aurora said, well, that's not fair to the kid, because they deserve to have had the opportunity to know what their options are. We as parents have years of experience and a lot more knowledge about what the real world needs and expects of us. And our kids deserve to have us share that with them and at least know what they're headed towards. It takes certain pieces to build a life, right? I mean, you all know that. Some of you were prepared when you went out into the real world. Others of us weren't. I wasn't, okay? You know, just like, oh my gosh, overwhelming, if anyone can relate to that. And so, you know, at some point, our kids have to go out into the world and they deserve for us to be able to prepare them. So, or at least guide them and let them know what's out there.
Right, and what's available. And so a lot of times we'll hear from parents that'll say, well, we did all the science, we did all the math, we did all the subject, we checked all the boxes, and my kid's not excited about, like, he doesn't know what major to pick, or she doesn't know what she wants to study, or even, it doesn't even have to be college, it could be a trade school. It could even be, you know, being an intern for something, or just doing a small program for something. They still don't have that, aha, this is it for me. Or even, this is the next step. They don't have to know what they want for their whole life. I don't even know what I want.
And that's really a key point.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Totally.
We're not
fine
trying to figure out what the one path for our kids are.
No.
So you know, a lot of feedback that we've seen. There are some kids, a minority, who, you know, they're 7 years old and they're like, I want to be a doctor. I know that's what I want to be. And that's what they study. And they go off to med school and they're an amazing doctor, have a great career.
We're not talking about that kid.
Right. Not those kids. Most kids, like most of us, will grow up and they'll graduate. And our goal is to get them started help them get started
just on
the
next
step.
Yes.
It's not the whole life.
Right.
It's just the next step. Something constructive, a building block, and then they'll change. Know that they'll change.
Totally. Like, I can share my bounce story, my roller coaster story. So I was in high school, and my chemistry teacher came up to me, because some people say, how do you go to high school and college at the same time you work for a NASA? Like, who does that? So I was just a high schooler. I was in 11th grade, and he came up and he goes, hey, I noticed you like science. And me, I was like, yeah, science is okay, right? I don't think I've ever said that online. But, you know, it wasn't my thing. And so he said, I'm going to give you this internship. There's only two kids from our school. You get to skip school once a day and go to NASA. And I'm like, okay, I get to skip school. I'm in. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I was a good student, but, you know, nothing too special. And so then I got immersed in this environment. I was like, wow, this is great. What do you call it? And they said mechanical engineering. I said, great, where do I go? Cal Poly. Great. So that set my trajectory this way because I was exposed to it. Before that, I had been working as a journalist. I was the janitor at a veterinary clinic. And so I was able to tick these things off as I went through the high school years. I worked at an elderly retirement home for people. And I also worked as a sales clerk and a bagger, and I worked repairing eyeglasses. So I did a ton of different things because I wanted to know what I thought I was going to be a veterinarian. I thought I wanted to be a journalist and travel the world. I still would love to do that, but yeah, it's not what it is. It's not what it seems like in my head. So like being a vet, I thought you could play
James
with
Harriet.
Yeah, puppies. Yeah. So I read James Harriet. I'm like, I'm going to be a vet. I'm going to be a country vet, right? That's really hard. Anyway, so the point is that got me started, but I'm not doing mechanical engineering today. I'm not, so whatever I got my degrees for, I got a master's and a bachelor's in mechanical engineering, but that's not what I'm doing today. That set my course so I could be in the right direction, and then something else set it this way, and something else set it this way. I volunteered my time at a children's museum just because I loved kids and I wanted to play with them, but no other mechanical engineering PhD student did that. I mean, they were all in their labs, like, you know, blowing stuff up and doing combustion experiments. So I do those too, but that set me on this course to get ready for supercharged science. So it's this beautiful life adventure. And it's been interesting, all the different decisions that we've made. Like the time I learned how to fly by accident, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have met Al. So being open to these, moments and these opportunities, and not trying to eat the whole enchilada. Like supercharged science didn't exist when I started. If you had told me 30 years ago, I would be teaching children online around the world and be happy about it. I would have been like, I remember, in fact, my physics teacher back when I was in ninth grade said, you know, you might make a good teacher. And I still remember what I told him, and I feel so embarrassed. So Mr. Johnson, if you can hear me, I am so sorry. I said, what, waste my life yelling at kids all day? What a waste of time. So I totally didn't know what I didn't know. So anyway, so long story short, it's easy to get yourself into overwhelm. And so when you think about it too big, it's like if you were going to fly from Los Angeles to New York,
right.
I mean, you don't plan you do have a general idea, but things change along the way, and the weather's going to change, and, you know, certain airports may not be open when you thought they would be,
Think of it like this. So to use a common analogy, let's say you want to plan a road trip from New York to Los Angeles, you know, you might have a general idea of which direction you want to go in, and even have a route you look at on a map and you think that's how you're going to go. So you get on the freeway, and that's the first thing. You have a plan, right? If you don't have a plan, you might just go in circles and circles and circles for your whole life. And that happens to some of us in life, right?
Wind up in Mexico. Wait, hang on.
But if we have a general plan, then we start in the right direction. But then maybe there are roads closed and construction and things like that. Something goes wrong, car breaks down. And so we stop somewhere and then we figure out what our next step is. But we still have in our mind, you know, okay, I'm going to head towards Los Angeles. So then next day, maybe we get back on the road, but we have to take a detour and we're still heading in the general direction. Then at some point we might decide, you know what? I don't think Los Angeles is where I want to go.
Yeah.
I hear it's really hot there and I don't like the heat and I need to pick a new destination. Mm-hmm. Now note, that's different. Picking a new destination is different from just wandering around aimlessly.
Yeah.
You might say, okay, I want to go to Seattle. I like the mountains and the rain and all that. Mm-hmm. And so you pick a new destination.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how life will work, and works for all of us if we plan ahead.
Yeah.
So tying that back to kids, right, as they're ready to graduate, one thing that we've found really, really valuable, like Aurora and I have probably mm-hmm. mentioned this before, we have three goals for our kids yep. when they turn 18 and move out of the house. Mm-hmm. A lot of things we'd like, but three main goals.
Yeah, so clean sheets on the bed by themselves.
Yeah.
Clearly not one of my top goals. I would like that, but I know my 18-year-old is not going to do his own laundry on the bed. Like, the bed will stay that way for 6 months. Okay, so keep going.
So our goals for our kids, number one, we want them to be happy. Mm-hmm. That's it. Want them to be happy. Goal two, we want them to be able to care for and provide for themselves.
Yes.
Take care of their daily needs, earn enough of a living to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Number three, we want them to give back to the world in some way, shape, or form. Somehow help make the world a better place. Give back.
Yeah.
That's it. Those are the three big ones. Be happy, care for and provide for themselves, and give back to the world. That's it. Those are the three big ones. If we've hit those three, mm-hmm. then overall, we feel like we've done our job as a parent. And yours may be different. Those are just ours. Now, there are a lot of other things we'd like for them, but those are our three big ones. So I might encourage you, see if maybe you can come up with three primary goals for your kids.
Or just one.
Yeah.
Just getting started.
Just one.
Yeah.
When they're ready to move out of the house.
Yeah. And I can honestly say, if I think about those goals with our 19-year-old, hit them 100%. Mm-hmm. We can like ring the bell and we're like ding ding ding, yay. Yeah, and so for sure. So excited. And we keep it simple that way because it feels so much more freeing, because I don't have like a 900 things that are like moving targets. I'm like, oh, this week I think this is important, this week I think this is, it's like the same. And so I'm able to work consistently towards that goal. And so I think with him, absolutely. And he, and then when I think about our 16-year-old, I feel like we still have some work to do on that. Like, I think we've got maybe one and a half, but in my mind, I'm like, okay, I can handle three things that I'm thinking about. And so that helps really narrow the focus on what we're doing. And so I don't have to be distracted by everything that gets thrown in our way and all this information. It really helps me put the blinders on and just focus on the things that's going to make that biggest impact towards yeah. working towards those three goals. Because otherwise, there's just too much to think about. And for me, that's what puts me into overwhelm.
Yeah.
All right. We got a ton of questions. Okay. Do you want to pause for a second? Yeah. Or did you have a finish?
Okay. So okay. It sounds like we've got specific questions. Like,
yeah.
What do I do? Earlier in early high school, 10th grade, how do I prepare?
People are commenting about how fast I speak. Okay. Yes, our new video players will have adjustable playback speeds, by the way.
So you can slow it down.
Yeah. Or speed her up, should you need to. I don't know why, but if you would want to.
Everyone's laughing. Why are people laughing?
I don't think I talk fast. I really don't. And I'm not from like New York or anything. If somebody even said I'm from New York, you don't talk fast. Okay, so
let's say I've got a daughter in 10th grade or 11th grade. What should I be thinking about now?
Yes.
Basically, we want to be thinking about what do we want our trajectory to be? Mm-hmm. So what do you want for, well, first, college or not college? Either way is fine.
There's a lot of areas between that, though.
Right.
Trade school, you could take a gap. There's a lot of things in there.
So let's say you want college. It's starting to think about, well, what is required for colleges, mm-hmm. you know, and colleges are kind of standardized in what they expect. So one thing that might be helpful is not to look at 20 different colleges and say, well, what did each of them one expect? Because there are nuances that each one have, but they have a certain core about what they expect. Mm-hmm. So pick your favorite college or a college that is kind of representative and just see what their expectations are. Mm-hmm. Another resource that's available to many people, and it depends on your state and your community, is, you know, even if we're homeschooling, because we pay taxes, we're entitled to college counseling mm-hmm. at high school, at our local high school usually. Mm-hmm. And so connecting with a college counselor there, or whatever they call them at your high school, mm-hmm. You're entitled to those services in most areas. You know, again, it'll vary from place to place,
yeah.
but usually there's someone you can speak to there, and they will have a checklist for you.
Yeah.
And
help
you kind of figure out if there's anything that requirements-wise you're missing.
No, one of the things that you did early on is you and Ben actually went and toured a campus just mm-hmm. to see what it was like. And then I would add that when I toured a campus, this was for graduate school, but when I toured, I also made it my business to introduce myself to certain professors. I had read up on stuff they had done before because I knew what area I was interested in, and I wanted to get myself known to them. Now, a lot of times professors nowadays, they can't just pull out your application and say, yep, I want this one. But it gave me a broader understanding of what that whole college life was like, and I wasn't just a number. So it made me feel much more connected with the school. And so when you do your tours, you know, you do like a tour with like 50 people or something. And you just walk around and they'll point out things like, here, and this is where, you know, you do this and this, and this is this department and so forth. But also to meet with either the department head or even students within the college. They'll also have outreach programs from the college to the community. And so you can be a part of that as well. And so it just makes it, for at least for nervous first-time parents with children leaving, it made it a whole lot easier for us to be like, okay, this is the environment my kid is really excited about. Like Ben, he mm-hmm. tried like a big, big school, and then he went to a teeny little one, and then he went to kind of a mid-size, and he was like, yeah, I like the way the class feels. And so it made him much more engaged in it. And it just, yeah, it made the whole, like you would do that same thing if you were putting your kids in kindergarten, right? So just to kind of get a feel for like, what kind of experience do I want my kids to have? Or does my kid want to have? Because honestly, we're not the pilots anymore. We're in the back seat when they get to this stage. Because, because this is their life that they get to do. So that would be something I'd recommend too. Go ahead.
One of the things, you know, I mean, colleges are really overwhelming, and often as parents, we don't know what kind of college is right for our kids, and they don't know either. They have even less experience in the real world than we do, right? And so a lot of it to start with is, what kind of college will your child enjoy and mm-hmm. be able to be successful at?
Yeah. Remember that happy?
Yeah. That's that more goal? Important, it turns out, in terms of life success. Yeah. Than going to like the best college or something like that, you know, which usually is defined by, you know, what college is ranked highest in U.S. News and World Report. People call the best college. Well, best for what?
Right.
You know, and really what we want to think about as parents is, what's going to be an environment where my son or my daughter is going to thrive. They'll be happy. They'll enjoy it.
Yes.
And they'll be successful academically, socially, that even if that's not the ultimate life direction that they take, it will get them started on a trajectory that's positive.
Exactly.
And so, you know, one of the best things you can do is introduce your son or daughter, even, you know, early on in their high school experience, to people who have gone to a certain kind of college. Or career-wise, people who are, engineers or artists or teachers or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you think might be interesting for them. And they'll discover things that could be an area they might want to study in college that they weren't aware of. Like, you know, when we take math, well, we don't really learn anything about what we might do in the real world. But when we meet an engineer or visit an engineering company or tour an engineering college, then we learn more about what real engineers do, and we can decide, well, and your son or daughter can get a feel of, this is something that would be cool, or no, I don't like that.
Right, exactly. And that's actually one of the things we try to do, is to provide you with opportunities. And we do, that's why the live classes change every month, mm-hmm. because we want to totally immerse them in one topic and then not just stay there. But then if that's the one that's got the hook that says, aha, that's it. Well, now you're two steps further down the road. Mm-hmm. So yeah. All right. Let's answer some more questions. Yeah. We got a lot of them in here. Thank you guys for submitting your questions, by the way. Let's see. Did I miss the book list? No, that is going to be published in September. Well, wait, there's the book that I published. So I'm an author. Yay. but also there's the book list that are coming out in September that'll go with the academic program. So we'll let you know where that is. Okay. My son is going into 10th grade. I appreciate advice. Okay. My boys are in 8th grade. I'm thinking of this. My question, after you offer 2 days of live classes, are there other lessons that we can focus on that you have covered in these classes? So yes. So here, we'll segue just a second. So when I teach the live classes, so that's Monday and Tuesday. So starting in September, August is like our soft opening month. This is where we don't do quite as much academics. Starting in September, I'll teach Monday and Tuesday. And at the end of Tuesday, I will assign... I'll let them know, hey, we covered the content from Unit 1, from Unit 17. And so they can go there and explore on, the whole curriculum is online already. So you can dive in as much as you'd like to. So
I've got a question for everyone. Maybe you can each type in an answer.
Yeah.
What's one of your main goals for your kids in college, or if college isn't their path and their next step after high school? What is one of your primary goals for them? What do you want for them?
Okay, great.
And maybe just type if everyone could just kind of type that in, that'll give us an idea of what direction to go in here.
Okay. Let's see. Please talk as fast as you want. Is it important to assign grades? What do we use? Okay, so there's actually a whole document. If you have questions about grades and scheduling for homeschooling, send me a private email. I actually wrote up a whole document. There's a whole page on this and how to do it, how to keep a science journal, and the different rotations that there are. And so I've got all that down there. So if you want that, just send me an email, aurora@superchargedscience.com, and I'll send that to you.
I think there's also a kind of a generic question there, like how important is it to assign grades when we homeschool in terms of getting into colleges? Do they need grades? And the answer is yes for some and no for others. And it depends on the school you're applying to. And one of the things that, you know, we might feel if we're homeschooling is, you know, we've got our way of doing things and it's different from the rest of the world. And we don't like to put our kids into boxes, you know, A, B, C, D, right? And we kind of resent that they want us to compartmentalize our kids like that.
You don't have opinions about this, no.
Yet at the same time, I see people laughing. Okay. You know, at the same time, one of the challenges is, you know, we get to pick what we want in our personal lives. And there's a world out there, too, that has certain expectations.
Yeah, they do.
And, you know... As our kids get out there, they'll have people who just judge them without knowing who they are and all that. And so part of it is kind of a balance we've found between, you know, giving our kids all the individualized treatment and understanding and knowing them as people. But at the same time, out in the real world is very often going to compartmentalize them and wants the A, B, C, D, and you got this, you're hired. If you don't, you're not. And so as parents, I feel like part of our responsibility is to help prepare our kids
for both. Yeah.
Right.
Both options. Definitely. I mean, our kids didn't get grades until high school. And so, and actually our second kid was really, he actually liked it. He says, finally, I have like a dashboard and I know what my target is. And so for him, it gave him like a diagnostic tool, like a feedback that told him how he was doing based on that feedback. And so having it, maybe reframing it instead of, hey, there's this goal you need to hit, making it seem more like a tool that they can use, especially if it's interactive and changes and tracks throughout the year, not just something you stamp on at the end of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so to answer that question, the grades may be for the outside world, and whether a college requires it or not, just some kind of concrete assessment can be helpful because, again, out there in the real world, whether it's colleges or bosses or any kind of program they apply to, people expect it. And so yeah, it's kind of, you know, balancing that individuality with at the same time being able to work in that kind of environment.
Yeah. People compartmentalize supercharged science all the time. They come to us and said, I want fifth grade chemistry. And I'm like, have they had science? Have they not? Because if they haven't, well, we got to start somewhere else. And if they have, you know, so, you know, we do our best to meet kids where they're at. But people already come to us like with their itinerary and how they want supercharged science to look. And a lot of times we have to say, you know what? We may not be the right program for you.
Yeah.
So understanding that it is very custom tailored when you do this.
Right. And, you know, I'm looking at questions
now. Yeah, I know. We need to answer
here,
questions.
You know, well, I'm unschooling now and it's very unstructured. Mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions?
We actually did a whole parent session on that. Just real briefly, if you want to say it in two sentences, remember when we talked about structure through, you want me to talk? Okay.
Yeah.
So the way we've outlined it is the first thing we'll do is we'll say, what are our educational goals for our kids? You know, we said that we want them to be happy and contribute to the world and so forth, but education wise throughout the year, at the end of the year, what has to happen? What are the top two or three where we can say, yes, homeschooling this year? Awesome. Awesome experience. We got our goals done. We can ring the bell at the end. And so once you have those, then you'll be able to fill in how you're going to reach them. And so we did a whole session on that. And so if that includes learning a routine, it could be something as easy as learning how to care for yourself, which maybe now you've got a hygiene and household chore thing that you're doing, and that's part of your schooling experience. So whatever your educational goals are for your kids, because right now I can share Ben, what does he do? He does everything. Starting when our kids are 16, we have something we call real life U, like university. Kids have to pay rent. They have to pay for their food and board. They pay for their own phone bill. We have a whole list. And if they want to drive, they have to have the deductible in the bank. They pay for their own gas. They pay for the maintenance. So they are responsible and they make choices based on that.
And they get a salary too.
And they, well, yeah, but they also, they earn money on their own.
And they earn money, yeah.
Yeah, so yep. So we have, but we don't just slap them with that the way we were when we got dumped out of the house when we were 18. But this is something that we work towards because we want our kids to be responsible, be able to care for themselves. So we take 2 years for that, 16 to 18, and now the kids are doing amazing. And so because we've put that structure in place, and so that's something that happens further down the road. And I can't tell you how many people that when I tell them I have a 16-year-old that pays room and board, I mean, they're like, you are so mean. And I'm like, yeah, he pays taxes too.
Yep, they pay taxes.
They do.
And anyone else was surprised the first time they had to pay taxes on their own? Right?
Or how much they took out of the check, you're like, whoa, right?
Yeah.
So why not do it when we're available to help them with this process? So
so we got a whole program we structured for our kids.
It's not supercharged science. Yeah. But anyway, so that structure is based on your goal. So whatever your goal is for that year, and it's whatever yours is. And so if you're like, we had a kid who was didn't start reading until much later. And so one of our goals, he actually put it on his poster for his goals for himself. He says, I want to learn how to read. And so every day that meant for 10 minutes a day, he worked at it and he got really frustrated because the whole family could read except him. And then he worked on it and then he got to feel that gold inside that he can read. And it didn't matter what age he was. Now he can take that and move forward. So, and you were talking about labels. Remember the super successful entrepreneur who was sharing with you how he had labeled himself as not being good at math?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So just kind of quick story. This guy who back when he was in elementary school, he went to public school, had a bad experience with a math teacher who left him feeling like he was no good at math. From that point on, he decided, oh, I'm no good at math. I'm no good at math. And he carried that with him through his whole life. And as he went out into the world, went from job to job to job, minimum wage jobs, thinking, oh, I'm no good at math. I can't do anything that has to do with math in the real world. Anyway, he ended up starting his own business. And even through that, even though in his business, he started to become more and more successful, largely because he was good at numbers and calculating money and profits and things like that.
Yeah.
He still thought, oh, I'm no good at
math.
Still
had the label.
And then one day it clicked for him. My gosh, I am a multimillionaire because I'm good at math. And my teacher back then told me I wasn't, but I am. And
but
I can't
it took
believe
all it, of it this life decades. Experience.
You know, one of the things that we can do for our kids is encourage them to believe that they can be successful at whatever they set their mind to. That's one thing that we've seen again and again in business. I mean, not just with this gentleman, but because we're involved with a number of quite a few entrepreneurs, we see that it's not always the smartest people who are the most successful in life and especially financially.
Yeah. So one of the takeaways though is that Supercharged Science has two goals. One is to give your kids confidence to go out and explore their world. And the second is to know what to do once they get there. So giving them the tools that they need. And if you had seen the Zoomers, the other people's kids on Zoom when we had done the civil engineering stuff this week, I think we've only done two, but there was one kid who was almost crying because he was so, he's like, I've been with you for so long. He goes, this Aurora, this is amazing. I built a bridge out of paper. And he was like, it's just paper, right? And tape. It's nothing magic. But the magic was the kid. And he was like, I can't believe I did this. He goes, and he was speechless. He was like, he just kept saying, I did this. And I'm like, how do you feel? And he goes, I feel good. I feel so good. I'm like, I'm ready to cry, right? And I said, well, what can you do now? He goes, I can do anything. And I was like, there it is right there. That's all we need. Our work is done. It was so cool. And then following him was a 6-year-old who's like, my dad is a watermelon farmer. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he goes, I asked him about engineering. He doesn't know anything about it. And I'm like, okay. And he says, well, I'm going to teach him. And so he's like, I know now I want to be an engineer. He's 6. And he says, I'm going to take it on myself to teach my dad everything I know about engineering. And he was so proud of being able to do this for his family, right? Yeah, and I was like, That's what we're after. It's, you know, all the experiments are great too, but it's that gold inside we want those kids to feel. And we really got to answer more questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. All right. So, let's see. Okay, there are some... Oh, these are all the goals you guys are sharing. Yeah. Yay! Yeah. Thank you for sharing those. Let's see. I'll answer more specific questions about the program towards the end. Let's stick with what we're talking about here. I just want them to be happy, respectful, productive.
Okay,
that's
wait,
awesome.
Wait. Pause for Nora. I want to see that one.
Okay.
Hornell.
It's one of them being interested in college. Another has helped tremendously. Aw.
Okay, so one big thing that... Has anyone ever been overwhelmed? Any of you guys think about college for your kids and you've been like overwhelmed? Okay. All right.
I'll raise my hand too. Okay. We've got another one we're putting in the chute. Okay.
All right. So first in the comments, what's most overwhelming for you?
Yeah. Which part?
And
that'll help us.
Which part is most overwhelming? And I'll answer one that I've got. Mm-hmm. What kind of college? What's the best college? So one of the, you know, going back to what we talked about before, best college is what's best for your son or your daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been tons of studies on what colleges make kids most successful in life, whether that's financially or career or something like that. That's how they usually evaluate it. And the answer is it's not so much based on how academically challenging a college is as much as it is how engaged a student is. Like you can take a college that isn't particularly challenging academically and you will find a group of students there who work their tail off and they work really hard and they end up being tremendously successful, not only in college, but in life beyond that. And, you know, if that's a college that is right for your kids because it has an area that interests them or they like the feel of it, the environment, whatever it is, then that's a college that's right for them. Again, it goes back to if they're happy there
or what your
and
goals
they
are.
Feel confident there, they will be much more successful making it through that college and going out into life than if you've got a son or daughter who goes to a real top tier academic school, but they're struggling and they feel like they're always behind and everyone else is better. That kid might graduate and might even make a lot of money coming out of that college or university.
But for how long?
But they won't be happy in their life.
Yeah, and I can actually interrupt you here.
Yeah.
So 2/3 of engineering majors will either drop out or they'll switch. Mm-hmm. And so during their first year of college. So that's huge. And because it was such a staggering number just in the United States, they did so many studies up on this. I think this was back from 2011, 2012. And it's still the same trend. It hasn't gone down or gotten any better. And so what they found is the top two contributors is the kids either didn't know what engineering was in the first place and got there and went, whoa, I just went in it for the money. But ooh, and the second one, so they didn't have exposure to it in advance, which we are trying to handle for you. The second thing is they didn't think they had what it takes to make it, to be successful. Mm-hmm. And that's a confidence issue. That's something you can handle today. So, because you don't want them dropping out and returning back home. Well, maybe we do, but ultimately, no, right? We don't want our 45-year-old kid still at home. but we miss them, and we want them to visit, and we want them to leave. No, so those two things were the top contributors, because they had surveyed these students when they either changed majors so if you can handle that upstream, then you're going to save your kids so much time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've probably all known people that have switched majors and have usually figured it out the last year of college. Maybe yourself. Yeah. And so that's where I think I actually had this big blessing by going into work at NASA before. And I'm like, oh yeah, I like this. What do you call it? And then I got to do it. And then I got into teaching. I'm like, oh, I like this even better. So, and just taking, carrying that forward. Okay. So more questions. My husband tried So yeah, and it's totally fine to switch. That's where you get all your great stories from.
it's a journey, not a destination.
Yeah. And it's not a race. That's the other thing. We hear from, especially a lot of homeschoolers, not a lot, but there is a segment in homeschooling that wants to shove their kids through as fast as possible. And by the time they're like 14, they finish college. And my first question is, what's the rush? Like, what, you're going to go in the workforce now? So, and I've had parents call in the situation, like my 12-year-old, he's in a calculus class. Should he be taking dual enrollment in both sets of calculus classes? And I'm like, what's your goal? And they're like, goal to complete college. I'm like, well,
why?
And then what? Right?
Why?
I don't know about you, but college was not all about academics. Right? So, and you're not going to do that when you're 12, right? So, so that would be something to think about.
That's a big theme. It's like, we want to rush through school, get into the best college rush through college so we can get out into the real world.
To go work!
And work for the next 45 years of our lives.
Wait, no! That's,
you know, think about your goals, seriously. Think about your goals for your kids, and it's not just because everyone says, you know, best college, make the most money or something like that.
Again,
the kids who are happiest and most confident in college, they will have the most successful careers beyond college.
Absolutely.
It's not the ones who just go to the top school. So
I know, and that's a mindset. If you have family who have all been in college, no one went to college before me, by the way. I was the first, what do you call it, first generation college person?
First one in your family.
Only one.
4 years of college.
Only one, yeah. So
went on to 12 years of college.
I know, before, like 25th grade or something. So if you've got family who have been in the college mindset, it can be a little daunting when you've got a kid who would be much more suited for like trade school or something, you know, or maybe they want to be a hygienist, and you know, that's not necessarily college. Or even so having those conversations about, well, what's your goal? And they're like, well, I want my kid to be better. And so understanding what they're talking about when you're talking to them, there's a reason that they have been sold on the college for everybody bandwagon. And so if you can get curious about it and just ask them questions, you may be able to head off that power struggle argument to really better understand them. I that was a question from a couple of people, like, what do I do if my husband's family doesn't agree? So I would just understand their world first and find out where they're coming from and what's going on for them. That's really my blanket answer to any power struggle. Like, what's going on? You know, what had to happen for this to show up? And I want to understand that about a person.
Okay, well, we've got a question about, well, what if my son isn't interested in anything college related, just likes to read and explore nature and things like that. What do I do? Well, the idea is to find something that does interest him or her, that in your mind as a parent, you're thinking, well, there's, you know, career potential here.
What's the
or
trajectory?
Something like that, like trajectory.
What's
right?
the trajectory?
Like, you know, sometimes we hear, well, my son just likes to play video games or something like that. So that, you know, as a parent, we know that's not really a career trajectory, right?
Not for the for the few people that have made money on it, yeah. But for most people,
right,
not so
right.
much.
Right, you know, just kind of, you know, practicality here. Yeah. We've got to make it in life. We want our kids to make it in life.
Yeah.
So, you know, what can I guide my kid to learn about?
Yeah.
That might be of interest to them. And, you know, if your son's interested in nature, well, have see if you can find a naturalist that he can spend a few days with.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, or if it's, you know, maybe a marine biologist or a ranger or something like that. Introduce your kids, you know, even just for a day or two.
Get them,
give them a
in
chance,
the environment.
Right. To try something.
To try
to see
it.
If it sparks an interest
yes.
with them.
Yes.
And you'll probably have to try 10 different
Lots
things or more. And then something will spark their interest and they'll be like, wow, this is so cool. And you'll feel like, hey, I've never seen her so excited about anything before. I thought she just, you know, liked to stay on her phone all day and you know, do Snapchat with friends. And, wow,
so
this is amazing.
It's got to pass the time flies test. What could your kid do that they could just do all day that you see as a trajectory that's pointing in the right direction? Like my daughter is actually the one who she did ballet and she did gymnastics, just like lots of little girls do. And then she was like, hey, when I'm 20, I'm probably not going to be able to do these things anymore. And so she's like, what could I do? Running. So now she's into track. But by having that conversation with her, so she's 11, right? She's thinking about her trajectory, which I thought was really interesting, because that's how we're modeling for her. So she made the decision, no, I can run even when I'm older. She says, I'm not going to be doing backflips because she noticed her coaches were older and they just stood around and told the little kids what to do. And she's like, they don't do those exercises. So for her, she wanted to learn a skill that she could learn later and use later in life, because she's like, wow. So that was a decision she made. So we were excited to share that with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see what other questions.
We have a bunch of questions about e-science. So let's save those for the end and we will do those. My son, he wants to work with animals. Just prepare with the idea. Oh, is that the one you said?
Engineering search.
Okay.
You know, so question about, you know, well, what about preparing for my kids for jobs and careers and things like that? You know, again, I go back to that whole idea of if your kids are confident and happy, they will be able to find a job, start a business.
They're hiring
whatever direction.
Would you hire somebody excited and who is just confident? I mean, even if they didn't have all the skills you wanted, you'd be like, sure. Go ahead.
I mean, just having, and I say this from experience, I used to be CEO of an international engineering company and probably over the years have reviewed thousands of resumes. Mm-hmm. And everyone who applies, not everyone, but a lot of people who apply have tons of experience and technical skill. It's the ones who are really confident and happy and also have the skill. Like, the skill's important, but that's a smaller part of it, because you can teach technical skill.
Yeah.
But someone who's confident and happy and a good team player, works well with other people, responsible, those are traits that we hire.
Right.
Those are things that we look for. Again, the technical stuff, you know, the hard skills, those you can teach someone.
Yeah.
But the personality stuff, the confidence and
Leadership, teamwork, all those skills that, you know, you didn't have college classes for. And when I see people posting their homeschool, you know, the day in the life of a homeschooler, there's a million videos on those, right? What do? They do math, reading, spelling, history, foreign language, whatever, you know, take your pick of whatever. Nowhere do I ever see leadership, teamwork, confidence, self-esteem, you know, works well with others,
right.
gets places on time, you know,
right.
you could have a million on there, right?
Right.
So, we go back and forth with this all the time. People, it's like, we go back to, what's your goal? What is your goal? And 95% of the time, people will look at us and go, goal?
Right? So be clear on your goal.
Whatever it is, because otherwise, how do you know when you get there? So that's we just keep going back to that.
And so with Supercharged Science, one of the big things we teach is not science at all. It's confidence.
Yeah. It is. But don't tell the kids that. Yeah. It's all about science, you know, because that's a good hook. Science is a wonderful lens to teach these and to focus these things, to focus on these traits with.
Right.
Because the kids, we're teaching them resourcefulness. We don't want you to buy them all these pre-made plastic kit parts. We want them to get resourceful by using what you've already got around the house. We're teaching them persistence. Yeah, it doesn't work the first time. Welcome to the club. We're teaching we're teaching them communication. So they'll call or usually they'll send me a message. It broke. What broke? The thing. What thing? Well, my experiment. Which one were you doing? What step were you on? So, communication. Yes. So, and also working with their siblings if they're working or working with a parent on a project. So we're teaching them lots of skills. We want them to have the confidence so they can get out there and do this for real. And sometimes, you know, kids take their own time about things. So, you know, we've had kids with us for years that just this year have been like, okay, this is when now I'm getting traction with this thing. And you can't rush that. And so... it's like, do you remember when you were potty training your kids? You know, and I remember me just going, when is this going to happen? It's going to happen. I know it is. And I remember a very wise parent came up to me and said, Aurora, stop worrying about the potty training. It's got 100% success rate. It's going to happen. And I was like, oh, you're right. You know, I've never seen anybody walk down the wedding aisle going, you know, didn't get that check mark box, right? So I'm like, okay, everything's got its own timetable. The timetable in my head, not necessarily the one that's going to actually happen. So anyway, so yeah, having that goal.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
How to gear a homeschooler towards college if they want, when I didn't go? And
ooh,
also,
that's a good question.
How to explain to husband's family
we covered that one.
All kids go to college. Another path that kids are still valuable and contributing if they choose another path. The key there is that you want to emphasize that there needs to be some kind of a path, like for your son or daughter, that it's expected, required that when they're done with school, that they're going to need to be able to make it in the real world, whether that's a college path. Or a trade school, yeah. Or going out on their
internship,
whatever it is,
yep.
They are expected and required, not by you, but by the world, to make it on their own.
Yes.
And I think if we give kids that expectation, even from early on, mm-hmm. that they are going to be expected to make it on their own, and they've got what it takes to make it on their own, and we're here to help prepare them, and they will need to make it on their own, then they prepare, they engage and ask, how do I get ready? What do I need to do? I want to learn about something. I know I need a career at some point.
Yeah.
I want to be doing something I enjoy and be prepared for it, because I know I got to do that.
Exactly. Can I interrupt you for a sec? So yeah, and actually I was going to say, you don't want to just say, oh, when you're 18, you're out of here, because that just creates stress. But instead, align with them and say, okay, when you're 18, this is typically what happens when you transition to adulthood. And we're here, we're on your side, and I'm going to do my best to get you prepared for the world. And knowing that it's not you against them, but it's you helping them make that transition, makes all the difference. And our 16-year-olds come to us many times saying, okay, I see how much it is to drive, right? That investment. I have no idea how to make enough money. Like, how do I do this, right? Because cutting lawns only gets you so far. And I'm thinking, he's only experience he had had at that when he was like 14. He was asking us, and he's like, lemonade stands only make this much money. Like, how do you do that? And what a great opportunity for a conversation, mm-hmm. right? And you're like, wow, there's a lot of different ways. Let's start talking about it. And it's not a one-time conversation. This is something that you get to develop. This is time you spend with your kids. This is where you get to bring them in just different environments and situations that you have, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's something that you, as long as you're organized, not organized, because I hate that word. I'm not an organizer. I am, as long as you have where you're headed in mind, a goal in mind, and you're not doing this the night before. Like, you're not going to be able to go get all your college applications and get everything done overnight. right? So you're not going to be able to do that and take all the testing that needs to be done these days and all those things. So it's, as long as you have enough of a cushion of space, you'll be able to do it, and it's not going to be stressful. And yeah, there'll be things that you've got to learn, but it won't be this deer in the headlights, what do I do now? It's so overwhelming. And this is true for anything, you know, especially like last March when suddenly everybody was homeschooling, right? A lot of deer in the headlight moments. Supercharged science was never so popular. Mm-hmm. So what do we do now? Help. And so as long as you've given yourself enough space to be able to make those plans and have enough thinking time and conversations with your kids. Are we saying, we're probably saying stuff you already know here, preaching to the choir. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, let's answer that question. Most overwhelming. Peter and Tony both asked kind of the same thing.
Making sure we prepare him properly to succeed in college. Do you want to start with that? Because you have been talking about goals.
Sure. So succeeding in college, again, it's just part of it is being comfortable with kind of the hard skills of the real world. And, you know, for college, that means going to structured classes and taking tests and getting grades. And it's also skills like time management. Mm-hmm. I think one of the most important skills that sometimes kids don't have is time management. You know, I've got, 5 classes and 5 hours a day, 10 hours a day of extra homework and all these clubs and things like that. How do I manage my time and plan it and structure it so I get everything done? And that's something that kids should be learning early on, you know?
Yeah.
Just how to get stuff done. Because as adults, we need to do that too. It's not about, having all these courses crammed in at all. So time management, being prepared for structured learning environments like colleges have, like the real world has. So much of the real world involves, we might as a homeschooler, we might say jumping through hoops or something like that. And unfortunately, or not, whatever, that's part of the real world. So our kids need to be able to manage that effectively.
Yeah, I would just say time management in general. And that's something you can teach really early on. And so my kids have lost their laundry many times because they didn't manage their time. And, you know, I said, feel free to keep all the clothes that you clean up by 12 o'clock today. And that's all I say. So I give them, you know, I tell them what I will do and I don't tell them what to do. And so that helps them start to learn this management system. That was first by, I think, Jane Nelson in the 70s. She did this book on positive discipline. That's where we got it from. And later on, it got remorphed into
Love and Logic.
Love and Logic.
Parenting with Love and Logic.
Yeah. And so
excellent resource.
Yeah. And so the main idea there is just telling them what you will do and also modeling the behavior you want to see. And that's basically it in a nutshell. So I wouldn't say clean up your clothes. I would say feel free to keep all the toys you clean up before bedtime. And that's it. And then at bedtime, I pick them up. And then, you know, tears and so forth ensue. And you want them to make mistakes because that's how they're learning those skills. And so I think for us that was definitely a big help in learning how to learn those time management skills. And instead of playing all afternoon, which they can do, we want them to do that. Yeah. And you know, I don't want to be picking up clothes.
they have more fun in life. You know,
they do.
It's funny when they learn early on that you do your work first and then you play. They just assume that's the way it is in the real world. And they go into college and into life assuming, well, you do your work first and then you play. And it doesn't dawn on them to put off their work till the end, or maybe they try it a few times. Come on, their kids, they'll try it, and they'll be like, wow, that didn't work. Well, I'm going to go back to what I know, do your work first, and then play. And it's not stressful for them like it might be for some of us adults who learn to procrastinate. It's not a big deal for them.
Yeah.
So that's a gift we can give them.
It is. And it's not that hard. I just shove the clothes into a laundry basket and they go in the impound box. If they don't earn them back within a certain amount of time, then they get shipped off to Goodwill. And I don't have any feelings about it. You know, it doesn't bother me. You know, they already have too many clothes. They already have too many toys. So this is another way to just thin them out. And for me, it's fine. And the way they earn them back, you can set these up as some people are asking how they do this. So the way they earn them back. So if you want a way of encouraging the behavior that you want to see in your house, you're like, wow, I noticed that you were really sweet to your sister where she wasn't so nice to you. That was so awesome. Why don't you go get, you know, 3 items from the impound box? And then they get to choose which 3. And by that time, there's like 25 things in there. So that's something you can do. toys and clothes and stuff, because honestly, they have too many.
We've got a couple of specific questions. What's the both love and logic? Parenting with love and... Parenting with Love and Logic. I believe Jim Fay is one of the authors.
Yes.
There are two versions that are
of most interest.
One for teenagers is just Parenting with Love and Logic. And the other one, I believe, is something like...
Magic. No, wait.
Early Childhood Magic.
Yeah,
Parenting with Love and Logic.
Yeah.
And those are the two that we've found most helpful. They've been game changers for us in our family. Such incredible, they instill confidence in kids.
When done
and
right.
Make your life easier as parents, like at the same time. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing how well it works.
I used to keep the book in the bathroom, so when I didn't know what to do, I'd say, oh, I have to use the bathroom, and I would run in there and then like flip to the chapter on arguing or whatever the thing was, right? And I'd spend 5 or 10 minutes in there, and then I'd come out, and I'm like, okay, I got this.
That's okay. It just plain works, and I mean, not only for us, we've heard from so many other people who are like, Love and Logic is amazing.
Yeah. And again, it just goes back. It's very respectful of both people. And there's Love and Logic for teachers. So if you're a teacher, like in a classroom full of kids, you can also apply those same principles.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right. Let's see. Can you... we are being requested for a course in time management. Do you have any recommendations?
I mean, I'll give you my favorite course in time management that our kids have gone through or are going through. It's called Time of Your Life by Tony Robbins. And it's great for adults.
Yeah.
And it's also phenomenal for teenagers. You know, I watch our now 19-year-old plan his day and his week and then go through it. It's easy for him.
Yeah.
And he just like runs circles around his peers in terms of what he gets done and how much he enjoys it.
Yes.
And now that he's on his own, how it gets him in the direction that he wants, at least right now, for his life.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal.
It gives him extra space. So to like think and plan, because he's not like chasing things and trying to, you know, pick up all the pieces and trying to juggle too much.
Yeah, no.
He's on the other side of it where he's actually leading. And so we see that in him. And there's a lot of great time management ones. This one is different because if you know much about Tony, he focuses more on the psychology than the strategy. And so most of the books out there are just strategy. Which is important, but the mindset comes first. And so that's really what we've been talking about the whole time here.
Yeah, that's a lot of it, right. So, it's not about checking off the boxes. It's about your mindset going into it and what your goals are and your experience. Time of Your Life by Tony Robbins.
So yeah, and that it's an audio course.
So yeah, you listen to it and then you do exercises. And
it's older. I think Tony even says, and if you put this cassette tape in... But it still works because it talks about mindset.
Yep.
So, you know, we haven't changed much.
Yep.
So, okay, let's go ahead. I know it's been like an hour. We probably should wrap
it
up.
All right, why don't we wrap
it
up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
And you had some science questions.
Oh, yes. Okay, so science questions. Let me answer all of those. By the way, thank you guys for joining me. I love being able to see your faces and seeing you crack up and nod your head and like, yeah, me too. We're in this together. So I really appreciate what I wouldn't have given to have this when I had my when I have my first kid.
Oh, wait. I got one more I want to answer here. Okay. So, all right. So there's so many, I'm kind of going to paraphrase this. So there are so many different people to learn from these days with online media being what it is. Who do I listen to? And answer is, who aligns with you and your values and you think is best. And I'm going to say best is who you think is best for you.
Best for you.
But what it comes down to sometimes is we have so many different people who teach us about something. Like I'll use the, you know, like we're talking about financial success. If you want to learn financial success and you have a choice of 20 different people, for me, I would pick whoever is most successful financially, or one of those top few people. Like these days, we don't need to learn from someone who's not so good at something when we have the access to someone who's really great at it. learn from someone who has gotten the results that you want to get in your life or want for your kids in their life.
Yeah.
Exactly. Learn from them. That's what I would say. You know,
you want to go find the people that have done what you want to do.
Just, yeah, there's a real difference.
Right? If I want to make the world's best chocolate cake, I want that recipe, right? I wouldn't go and find somebody who's never made chocolate cake before. I mean, that's going to be a disaster.
Right.
So yeah, why waste my time on that? So I would find people like that. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. My boys are in, I was thinking they need to focus on science. Great, join us. Perfect. Okay, my question. So how are the live classes